Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. Our sponsor for this week's episode is Johnny B's Lakeshore Grill and Pizza. Whether you're staying at Blueberry Hills Resort or swinging by to try their Italian beef, mouthwatering racks of ribs, or amazing pan pizza, Johnny B's is the place to go. Give Johnny and Trish a call at 715-945-2686 or visit them on Facebook at Johnny B's Lakeshore Grill and Pizza. Hello and welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast, episode number 10. I'm here with my college buddies Brad and Taryn, and today we're just going to kind of reminisce on our college glory days, and and we'll see where it goes from there. We're all teachers here, so if you're not a teacher, maybe this will provide you with some insight on what it's like to be a teacher, and if you are a teacher, well, this is the episode for you. So, without further ado, Brad, Taryn, we were back on Water Street last night, and what'd you guys think of what it was like to be graduated but back on Water Street?
I don't know. Definitely not what it used to be. I'll say that for sure. Used to be in the old days where, you know, you still have class and you go out Thursday night. In my case, me and Taryn, we go out Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Saturdays. It'd be a 4-day kind of party deal. But at the time, going out like that, when you go to the bars, you'd almost know, I would say, like 75% of the people in there. You just kind of knew everybody through somebody, because being on Eau Claire campus, you kind of know the population-wise isn't as huge if you go to like U of M or anything like that. So you kind of know most people through some other individual. But yeah, last night it's been a change to graduate in December. Going to the bars and not really knowing anybody. I mean, it's kind of a rough change to do, but it's still good to hang out with everyone that you know going to the bars, but. Definitely a change.
Oh, yeah. There's been a big differences from even in the bars. I mean, Brothers did that redo, trying to be like the pickle. Just not.
We're calling you out, Brothers. We're calling you out.
Yeah. Pyle, once they got bought by the pickle 2.0, Sheenan's is still Sheenan's. Like, last call.
Find what the pickle is. I don't know if the viewers will know. It's gonna.
Okay, so imagine like the sketchiest bar you've ever been to, and then times that by 10. Yeah. And I think that's the pickle.
I think it was a poll done maybe like a year or two ago where the pickle was voted like the number one like dirtiest bar of the Midwest. So right there, it might give you like a little image of what you're kind of looking at when you go to the pickle.
Yeah, that's that smell that you get when you walk into the pickle. That's like a distinct smell that sticks with you. I would say it smells like bleach and bad decisions.
Exactly.
That's the best way I could describe the pickle.
Real B&B right there.
Like if they made like a Yankee Candle for the pickle.
Oh man.
No, please God. Please don't ever let that happen.
Oh boy. Yeah.
But going back to what you said, like not knowing that many people, but still being able to enjoy yourself. Yep. But it's definitely different. Just going out and kind of walking to a place and kind of scanning the room. You're like, do not know any of these faces. Okay. So but you make the most of the evening and maybe meet some different people. But when we wore jerseys out, I think it was like January or February, we were like, wow. I've never felt this old before. Yeah. Like, and as it turned out, it was a Thursday night, and Brothers was having that promotion where it was, you wear a jersey and you get like a free shot when you walk in the door. But we just thought they liked us so much, like, hey, these look like some cool guys. Here's some free shots on the bar. But we've kind of reached that point where it's like, man, can I still pull this off?
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're not even that old, but it's still like you can feel
like the freshman to, I don't know, senior post college grad, the faces are extremely young. I don't know, look at the people that are walking through Brothers and Pickle last night. Oh man, it's just,
there's a steep drop off. I mean, you can go out and know people freshman to senior year, but as soon as you graduate, it's a steep drop off to not knowing anybody there, not knowing what you're going to do that night, if you're going to make it out that night, because your tolerance has also taken a dive by having that full-time job, by handling kids all day, wrangling them up, man.
Yeah,
it's tiring.
Most nights, like, I'd say I'm in bed by 10. And if I'm not in bed by 10, like, the next day is kind of, a rough day. Yeah, so to make it to midnight was a big accomplishment for me last night. And I know I didn't have, like...
You weren't drinking that much.
No. And it's not like a Cinderella thing, like, you have to be home by midnight kind of thing. It was just like... I just can't physically... Right. I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. But what would you say are the signs that you're on Water Street? I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot here, but what would you say the signs that you're on Water Street or the signs that you're at the Pickle? So you know you're on Water Street when, or you know you're at the Pickle when?
I'll kick us off here. So you know you're at the Pickle when you're standing in about 6 inches of just standing water, which is just mixed with probably urine, vomit, snow from the outside, spilt drinks, whatever else you can think of, probably some tears. There's some tear shed
tears
going
of regret.
On.
Shame.
Yep.
Nobody's calling their parents when they're at the Pickle kind of thing.
No.
No?
That's the first one I can think of.
I would say when you're at the Pickle, it's kind of the post time. You probably should be home, but you're having a good time. Usually the Water Street experience usually start around, I don't know, most people probably go around 9:30, 10, probably get to the bars. Most people start at Brothers. It's kind of a chain bar kind of thing. It's kind of like the pre-bar scene before you get to like the main attraction, which is like the Pickle, the Pio. And then if you can make it to Sheenan's, you shouldn't be at Sheenan's, but you are. I would also say when you're at the Pickle, you know you're at the Pickle when you're ordering a triple vodka Red Bull. And right there kind of can show you probably shouldn't be drinking that.
It really sets the tone for the evening. Yeah. Like, you know, they say, like, you shouldn't pair alcohol with Red Bull, and that's...
Right.
It's kind of what... They know what they're getting into here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I'd say, you know, you're at the Pickle when... I saw this happen. There was a man dressed as a leprechaun handing out, like, handfuls of Lucky Charms, and it was, like, October. But it wasn't close to Halloween. It was like October 3rd. And the guy was just there with his shirt off, handing out Lucky Charms dressed as a leprechaun. And you're just, any other setting, you'd be like, okay, this guy's pretty crazy. But at the Pickle, he was embraced as like a hero.
You just go with it,
It's like the the Gardettos that you get at Pio.
Oh, they've never tasted better.
No, I mean. Like those rye chips are so close. Some people don't like the rye chips, but hand me the rye chips, man. I'm all about it.
Rye chips are trash. That's all I got to say about that.
Feel free to blast Taryn in the comments here if you're a fan of rye chips, or, you know, if you support the no rye chip. We'll have a debate, rye chips or no rye chips. That'll be our next poll.
That's a good conversation. What's, like, the best, like, bar, like, snack food? I don't know. Like, Gardettos are pretty good. I don't know. I mean, of course, popcorn's up there. Peanuts are usually pretzels. But, I don't know, Gardettos is kind of, like, outside the box. I don't know. I've never really seen that before, but...
I'd say, I mean, I haven't had too many. So you mentioned pretzels, popcorn,
like the usual bar necessities. But
I'd honestly say Gardettos.
It's pretty good.
They've come through in the clutch on many occasions. Yeah. Like I'll have just like I reached a point where it's like, all right, I just need water and like give me three of the trays of Gardettos, and I'll be back to okay.
Yeah. What was the other night, Tanner? We were at the GI, another bar on Water Street.
This is like the Eau Claire edition. So if you're not from Eau Claire, you really have maybe you need to come to Eau Claire and experience Water Street for yourself.
The Water Street experience. We were at the GI, which is the Grand Illusion, another bar. They're famous for a drink called the Delusion. Delusional, right there. Sum up the drink. But we were there, and we were talking about? They had like bags of chips hanging up. And we're like, that's a great idea. Like, if you had, like, bag of chips, like, at the Pickle or, like, the Pio or something, people would buy that. Like, put, like, a little like, bag of Cheetos or Doritos or something like that.
Well,
oh, man.
Well, when people are at the Pickle, it's like, they'll get, like, a $5 drink, and then they'll, like, tip the bartender, like, $5. Just because, like, money is no object once you get to the Pickle. It's like, all right.
You know what?
Yeah. Just look at your bank account or your empty wallet the next day, and you'll know what happened.
Exactly. It should be their motto is, like, drink like a champion today or something like that. It should be your student debt stays at the door when you come in here because money is no issue here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Man.
They get you with the, you gotta, for card, if you have a card, you're paying with card. Usually bring cash to the bar, it's a recommendation. But yeah, the minimum at the pickle, at least, you gotta have like a, you gotta spend $15 to even get anything, right? It's a $15 minimum, which is.
So normally, if somebody's buying, like, by themselves and they don't have a group around them, and they're like, oh, $15 minimum, you wanna be around that person because they're like,
exactly.
Shot. It's like, right. Okay, all right.
Or you see that when at the pickle on your birthday, they have a, like, a birthday wheel you can spin, and there's a bunch of drink prizes you can win.
Which brothers also took from them?
Well,
dude, we're gonna get like some hate mail from my brothers here.
Well, Taryn, you also just recently won too. You spun the wheel. It was your birthday.
Yeah. I spun the wheel at both of them. Brothers. I mean, I love brothers. I'm wearing a brother shirt right now. No hard feelings, brothers. It's all in good fun.
Just keeping you honest and on your toes.
Hey, yes, brothers.
Yeah, sponsor us. So my brothers, I won a free, it was called the Purge, and it was a shot with like Tabasco and a jalapeno, and pretty sure it was whiskey. It was awful. I ordered it from the bartender. I'm like, yeah, I just won the Purge, and he gave me the weirdest look, and he was like, good luck, man. Right, yeah. So there was that. And then at the pickle, the DJ said that if I win a $100 bar tab, then I got to buy him a shot. And I was like, okay, that seems fair. And I was one click away from winning that $100 bar tab. But I won a barrel party, which to me is better. I'd much rather have free beer for what 3 hours.
Even if it is like the cheapest beer known to man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, it's even cheaper than Old Milwaukee. Doesn't
the pickle, like, have their own beer, too? Like, they... It's like the pickled beer. It's not like a beer.
I sure hope so.
It's all the water they collect at the end of the night from the people's feet. Funnily, and you're just like, you know, here you go. This was free, so don't... Great. Yeah.
But the barrel party, it's free beer for you and your party or anyone else who comes and says they're for the barrel party, which I've done on multiple occasions.
Scandalous.
I think it's... 10. Three, isn't it? Maybe three. Seven to ten, so 8 to 11, something like that.
It's when, like, nobody's there.
Yeah, so it's early on. Exactly. So it's basically a free pregame, which is the way I look at it, which is quite nice.
Very true.
Yeah. So how's life been after graduation? Besides the bar scene, how is teaching been so far for you?
I'll take this one first. So I have a long-term sub now, first grade. I student taught in first grade, and I knew right then that I did not want to teach first grade. And I ended up in first grade.
The man will take a job that he can get right now.
Money's money, man. I mean, they say you don't go into teaching for the paycheck, but right now I am in teaching for the paycheck. But it is a consistent job. Good experience. I love 98% of the kids. Those 2%. No, I'm joking. That all the kids are good. There's a little bit of some behavior issues, but I am the third teacher of the year. So there was some turnover.
Where are you teaching at,
then? Chippewa Falls. At an undisclosed area. I don't know. Hillcrest Elementary up in Chippewa Falls. It's a good school, great atmosphere. Very supportive, love the kids. I mean, that's why you go into teaching, for the kids. Just making an impact on their lives makes it all worth it.
Yeah. And I mean, as we start off the show, we were talking about Bart, but yeah, teachers are humans too. So they have to, there's the work life and then there's also that social life.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Well, I mean, you got to balance. Even for teachers, like having that Thursday night, maybe Friday night, Saturday, you need that release to go out and kind of express your feelings of like the week and like,
right.
It's more of just like a social thing. It's not even more of like, all right, I'm just gonna like start drinking, like throwing 4 hours away. It's just like you need to like cope and just like express what's on your mind. And
it sounds like we're alcoholics,
but we're not. It's just like we're just saying like
it's what you need to do sometimes,
because there's some things that you need to vent about, and exactly. Especially like if you go out with like your coworkers.
Yeah.
Or people that you graduated with in the teaching program, like it's stuff that people can relate to. So maybe if I was talking about a teaching situation to somebody that was a business major, they might not be able to relate as much. They'd be like, okay, yeah, cool.
Right, yeah, whatever.
But then, like, you guys get it, and other people from our program get it.
Your friend group you can go to.
Yeah, so it's just nice to kind of have that rally point, I guess.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, what about you, Brad? How's it been going for you?
It's been going good. So we all graduated in December. Took me a little bit while. I just recently took a job at a high school in the special ed realm. So 9 through 12. The ability based is learning from kids with learning disabilities. So that could be from like struggles with reading or math or whatever, to all the way up to kids with emotional behavior disabilities. So, you know, like bipolar, kids that'll rip your hair out, like swear at you, like so
you're dealing dealing with all kind of sorts
exactly
of things
yep
there.
So it's been interesting. Obviously I differ from you two. I was a special education major, but just took this job because I wanted to finish out the year, get back in the schools because I hadn't been there for like about a month or two. But it's been great. I did my first interview last Thursday, so I met the kids, met the system, got down. It was actually kind of hard because I'm taking over for a teacher that doesn't really want to go, but she is at the point where she needs to start getting paid more and get more benefits.
So it's a, career decision.
Yep. So, like, I was shadowing her on Thursday, and it was, like, she was very emotional. Like, all the kids are hugging her, and, like, they know, like, change is coming, and kids with special education disabilities, it's very hard for change that throws them out of their routine.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be difficult probably, like, the first 2 weeks when I'm there, but I think it'll be good because – as with education, being a male is, it's different because education's always been more of a female kind of profession. But being able to bring that male perspective, I think, is very, very important because a lot of kids don't have like a father figure or someone in their life as a male. So being able to bring that, I think, will be a big help to a lot of these kids. So,
yeah, that's awesome that you guys both have these different opportunities and. And you're pursuing those. So.
Yeah, no, it's been great though.
Post-graduation life has been there are certain points where I think it was difficult to like, all right, you're applying to all these jobs and trying to figure we're in the transition period. So it's like trying to find where we're going to live,
right.
Where we're going to start our career and all that kind of stuff, and it's a lot to juggle, right. But just little by little I think we're starting to get to adulthood. Exactly. Whatever that is. But
define adult.
Yeah, we don't really know at this point either. But
definition of that, you know?
I actually asked my students what made you an adult the other day, and they said staying up past 10 o'clock. So if last night was any indication, guys, we are adults now.
Adults,
but adulting. The question I want to ask you now is, what is the most fulfilling thing that you find about teaching and the teaching profession?
I mean, this is a common interview question. Botch both my interviews.
I'm actually interviewing you right now.
Exactly. Great question, by the way.
Well, thank you. But, you're writing this down.
Tier one.
But, oh god. But I just love working with kids. Always have, from running basketball camps, baseball camps, to actually teaching them like in an educational setting. But what really gets me is like that breakthrough moment when they're struggling with something and then they can finally do it for the first time and they're like, oh my god, I can do this. Like, I see that I can do this now. And then they have like the confidence of a 21-year-old who just made out with a girl at the pickle. Like, feeling good.
Full circle, back around to the pickle. Okay.
Feeling good, like, they could do anything in the world. Like, they think they can fly as soon as they figure that thing out. And just seeing them be that happy about learning just makes it all worthwhile.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, end of that, I mean, you got to... For a lot of these kids, you got to find the little wins. And what I mean by little wins, you'll have kids that that'll struggle with, say, for reading, for example. Maybe they're reading like a passage, and as teachers, you have to time them out as you're testing and seeing their progression. And maybe they're only reading maybe 20 words a minute, maybe like that. So as you see that little growth, you got to take that. Maybe it's 5 words, maybe like a month. Like you got to take that. You just got to find those little wins you can do. And that's kind of the big thing for me, seeing that little like daily progression and you see the growth. Like, that's probably the biggest thing for me as a teacher. But
yeah, it's like you see the potential that they have, exactly. And they're chipping away little by little at it. It's not going to all happen in one, like overnight.
Nope.
The snap of the fingers, like, oh.
You wish it could, obviously, but yeah. Teacher's lesson, you got it, right?
Right.
You wish that would happen, but.
Yeah, it takes time. And
exactly.
And that's one of the things that is awesome when the student puts forth the work and then you're working together and just see, like, all right, they're starting to get this. They're working hard at this. They're persevering. And they have the courage to take different chances that they may not have taken before. So I think just building that connection with your students and building that relationship while you're fostering that positive learning environment is just a huge thing.
Absolutely.
Going off of that, like, another thing that I just love is the connections you can make with the kids. I mean, being so young, like, I understand, like, where they are compared to other teachers. And, like, so if they start talking Fortnite, like...
I was just going to ask you, what's your opinion of Fortnite, Taryn?
Like, I am hopping in on that conversation. Like,
he's all over that, folks.
Like, even if they're talking about, like, music. Like, I subbed in a 7th and 8th grade ELA classroom in Elk Mound, and a kid, like, was listening to music. And I'm like, what are you listening to? He's like, J. Cole. I'm like, oh, Middle Child? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, nice song.
And can I borrow your bud?
And he looked at me, he was like... You know that? And I'm like, how old do you think I am? And he was like, oh, no, 30s? And I was like, oh, God. I am not in my 30s. Do I look 30? Or am I just all teachers?
No offense to all the 30-year-olds listening. We're just saying, like, nothing wrong with being just recently graduated, so he doesn't feel like he is up there yet.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that definitely, like, you can relate to them. And, I mean, I went back and subbed it. The same school where I student taught, and one of the kids said something that, like, made me pull the old meme of, like, I'm not crying, you're crying, as I'm, like, actually crying.
Yeah.
He told, like, he saw me, and he was just so ecstatic. Like, he hasn't seen me since October, and it was mid-March, and he was so ecstatic, and he told, like, his aide that works with him, like, seeing Mr. Driscoll makes me happier than when I see my dad, because he doesn't have his dad in his life. And I'm like,
wow.
That male perspective again.
Yeah. Right. Holding back the tears, man.
Yeah, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Exactly right.
I think that's important, too. I mean, not to hate on, like, the older teachers or the seasoned teachers, but bringing that attitude that you had post-grad, bringing that to the classroom, being able to relate to a lot of the students' interests that are there in their life, like Fortnite, obviously. Being able to have that relationship and have that ability to communicate with them, I think is very important. You can get to them, build that foundation of interest, and that'll go a long way to success, because being able to have that relationship with them is crucial, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, if you establish that connection, so maybe you find out what kind of music they like or what kind of activities they're interested in outside of school, and you can kind of gear maybe your lesson towards that. So maybe you bring in like Superman or Spider-Man or like something from Avengers or something like that. Yeah, like you bring that into the classroom with maybe a word problem or something like that. So they're like, all right. Thanos has 4 Infinity Stones. How many more does he need? Like something like that. Like where the students
drives
are
their interest into it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something. Yeah. Definitely.
So anyway, I think that we can make that connection as teachers. It's just going to have that much more of an impact on their learning. Yep. So. All right. Awesome. Sure. So we got we got Water Street covered. Yeah, we got Water Street, teaching covered.
Teaching perspective.
All right. Now we talked about this last night. Space Jam 2.
Ooh, yeah.
Who's cast in your movie? Who's cast in your Space Jam 2 movie?
You take the lead on this
one. Yeah, take it away, Taryn.
So you're saying, like, who the monsters are going to be? Like, whose talent is going to be taken?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think, when I think of the monsters, I think of, like...
He's about to go off, folks.
Out of the world talent. And so I think, obviously... You gotta put Giannis in there. I know I'm not even a Bucks fan, but you gotta respect his game. He's doing stuff that's crazy. But also, if you're going by freakish athleticism, you gotta put Westbrook in there. I mean, the dude's making the impossible look easy. He's averaged a triple double now for the third straight year. He just put up a 20-20-20 game. Like he's out of this world. Love the Thunder, by the way.
For those of you that don't know, Taryn, he's a big OKC fan, and the man
Thunder fan.
The man absolutely hates Kevin Durant now. with a passion.
So I also think that LeBron would get Durant to be on his team, but then they would lose, and then Durant would join the Monstars. But that's number three. That's number three.
Jared, you're giving them ideas now. Like,
but so we got Giannis, we got Westbrook. I mean, you got to put Curry in there. His shooting is just ridiculous. He makes the impossible shots look easy. I honestly don't think that you would put Harden in there. I don't think he would be in there. Because what does he do that sets him apart? He shoots free throws. That's going to be boring.
Important part of the game, but...
It's going to be a boring movie Harden shooting 15 free throws. Oh, okay.
That's the whole film. Just like, wow. Yeah, this game really wasn't what I expected. Yeah. The refs call all these, like, fouls, just phantom fouls. Yeah. Like, yeah. All right, well, I mean, while this is realistic, as a viewer, I am bored to tears.
Yeah, and like, his defense is just, he's not in that other world category. So we got Westbrook, Curry, Giannis. We got two more that we got to steal their talent. I mean... That's tough because, like, if you're going through the list of, like, guys in the NBA, like, the top players, like Kawhi.
Do they have to be top players, though?
Would you take Anthony Davis?
Oh, yeah. Yep, Anthony Davis would be in there. He's in that outer world talent level. And then I think I would go – man, I haven't picked anyone – oh, I picked Giannis from the East. That just shows you. We need to get rid of the East-West. Go to best 16 teams. But whatever, not the question.
Yeah, that's for a different time.
My last one.
Well, why don't I say something?
You think of your last one.
I would say, do they have to be like top tier players? Because if you go back to the original movie, they had Muggsy Bogues as the point guard, the little guy.
Top tier.
I mean, he wasn't a great. I mean, he was a good player, but he wasn't like James Harden, like Steph Curry. Like he wasn't like that. I mean, he was. In there because he was really small. I mean,
he just had that voice.
They had Muggsy Bogues, like the really small guy. They had Sean Bradley, like the 7'4 guy. Like it was like the
Hall of Famers.
No, not at all. So like, all I'm trying to say is like, do they have to be top tier players to be in the cast?
Just put in Frank Kaminsky.
Right. I mean,
throw Frank in there.
Throw like an average player there. Like.
But I feel like they're going to want those star players to get the draw of the fans in there.
Although, like, the reports are saying, like, nobody really wants to be in the movie, though.
Well, no one wants to play with LeBron anyway in L.A., so...
Like, a lot of the star... LeBron's been trying to recruit players, and they're all saying no.
Do you think the coach of the Monstars would be LeVar Ball? Like, big brawler brand takes over? Like, he's the coach?
I think he's the guy trying to get LeBron to come to Moron Mountain.
Right, yeah. He's like, yeah,
he's the main guy.
Come with the big baller brand. And
the Danny DeVito character. Yeah. From Moron Mountain, yeah.
Who would be like the Bill Murray cameo then for
today? We were talking about this
today. Yeah.
I think it probably would be like Kevin Hart. I think he would probably be that guy because he loves the NBA. He kind of fits into the newer style of comedy. He's kind of on the top. So I think Kevin Hart would probably.
I could also see.
But why not have Bill Murray come back?
I mean, he's ready to go. Yeah.
I could also
Perhaps I could be some assistance.
Defense? Oh, I don't play defense.
Skull balls.
Skull balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is alive.
So many like one-liners from that movie just from Bill Murray.
Right,
he wasn't even the main focus of it.
He was in there for like what, maybe like 5 minutes in the movie. I mean,
yeah, that's all you need though.
Do you think MJ should be in the movie though? Do you think he'll make a cameo appearance? I don't know. Would he want to be? I don't know.
Man, we're really getting down to the root of it.
Yeah,
like we're basically writing their script for them right now.
Yeah,
I think he'd have to. I think he'd have to make an appearance at some point, just as like a tip of the cap to like
maybe at the end, like he's like on the top, like watching the game with like a cigar in his mouth or something. Yeah, like, just like,
good job.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
Passing him the torch kind of thing. But
yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't.
If it does actually end up getting made, is it in the process of getting made or?
I think they're in the process of writing this script. Like they're trying to get the
at least
people.
2 years away. I would assume, but
it's something that
I'm gonna say that it's not gonna live up. I mean, Space Jam is such a such a movie that.
Well, just that opening childhood. Scene.
Exactly, right. Yeah, we were watching
it last night. We were watching it last night. We're getting hyped.
Yeah.
And
intro, MJ highlights. Insane. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, I got my fifth one.
Okay.
It's going to be controversial, but I'm going with it. I'm saying Dirk. To get the iconic Dirk fade into it.
Why don't they just have, like, retired players play that?
Guys that are looking for some cash. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring out, like, Charles Barkley back.
Just bring the whole original Shaq. Crew back.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, steal their talents. Like, wow, this is not what we were expecting here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see on Space Jam.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it actually comes to. Did you know that the original like Space Jam website is still running, like in its original format? So if you just type in like spacejam.com or something like that, it's in the original. Like I think it 90s, came out in early 90s,
96 maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But it's still operating.
Right. Yeah.
Not a whole lot you can do on the site, still operating.
Exactly. I'm just gonna say it's not gonna live up to the hype. I mean, you can't beat the original.
So, what do you think, Taryn? Is it going to live up to the hype? Is it going to be better than the original?
There's not a chance.
Okay.
It's an all-time movie. You look at movies now with, like, stars in them, like Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant. Oh, man. That was... Not even because I just don't like Durant now, but, like, I bought the movie because I was a huge fan of him at the time, and I watched it, and I was like, this is just, like... a combination of awkward Space acting. Jam and like Mike, and like it was just cringeworthy. And then like even Uncle Drew, like
you see that?
No, I didn't see it. But like I saw the previews for it, so.
What about Shaquille O'Neal's acting career? Have you seen Kazam?
Oh boy, yes.
Woof.
Like I don't know who. I'm looking like to athletes at who was like a athlete turned. Movie star that was like really good.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay, from wrestling. Yeah, John Cena.
We'll talk like
They're actors though.
From like the
well, big, I mean like the they're athletes, sports. But they're more actors than athletes. Yeah. You know?
I mean, if you're talking the big four sports, hockey, basketball, football,
soccer's not in there.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Brett Favre was in Something About Mary. He had a little cameo.
He had like cameos. But.
He also starred in some pictures on the internet.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
No, I don't know.
Google those in your free time, folks. Do not Google that.
Has there been like an athlete from the Big Four to really become a decent actor? I don't know.
Folks, we can't think of it right now, but if you know of an athlete that's made it big time, put it in the comments and let us know. Enlighten us because maybe we're just not watching the right movies.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw was in Failure to Launch.
LeBron was in, what was that movie with Amy Schumer?
Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, yeah.
Yeah.
That was okay. I mean, he wasn't like the main guy. I mean, he was in there for maybe like 10 minutes.
See, that's the thing. I feel like...
getting at the lead role.
For them to get into it, they can't be the main person right away.
Because they got to prove themselves.
Yeah, exactly. If they can, like, co-star with, like, a big name, like a Kevin Hart or, was it Megan McCarthy? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Like a big name.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, that's it. Yeah. Like, a big name with them so they can kind of, like, pull them along, like, carry them through their first couple movies, and then they get the hang of it. Because, like, you just throw them in. That's like throwing...
You have Kazam. I mean, basically.
Yeah. You get Kazam.
Kazam.
Then you end up... car insurance commercials.
Yeah, right. Shaq's the main guy.
For a great little rate you can get out of line, go to the general and save some time.
Oh, my gosh.
Icy hot.
Yeah. Well, it's like... he can just throw his name into anything, though. Like, he'll just say, like, Shaqalicious or something like that. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, trademark. Shaq, you can do that because you're Shaq. But, like, if we tried doing that, it would just be not
gotta
good.
Gotta have that iconic name, Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq Soda.
All right. Yeah. We've had a great time so far, and I appreciate you guys coming on the show. I want to end the show with questions from McCann. I do this with my students, so some of these might be cheesy, but some of these might be very insightful. So... We'll see what you draw here, but I'm going to shake up the can. It's an old Swiss Miss hot chocolate. Put that in the mic there.
All right.
All right, Taryn, you're going to draw first here.
All right.
Choose wisely.
So I'm asking you this question?
Nope.
I answered
you're reading
this question.
You're reading the question out loud, and then you're answering the question.
I have to read. Okay. What is your biggest dream?
Ooh. Your biggest dream, Taryn. If money were like...
So we talking like my bucket list, like what I want to do.
What's on the top of that list?
So being a big sports fan and being living in Wisconsin, but having all Wisconsin teams not be your favorite team, I want to go out and see all my favorite teams, sports arenas, in like see a game there. I mean, I've been to the Bradley Center, I've been to Miller Park, I've been to Lambeau, like, but they were all to see basically my favorite teams. Like, I do cheer for Wisconsin teams if they're not playing my teams. Let me just make that clear. I do cheer for them. Bucks have had a hell of a year. But, like, I wanted to go see Paul Brown Stadium down in Cincinnati. I want to go see, like, I would love to see Georgia play it. Even in just an SEC football game, that atmosphere. But, like, yeah, I want to see UConn basketball, men's or women's, either one. Women's are probably better, but...
I'd say top-tier program.
Oh, yeah. Want to see the Lightning down there. Want to see the Marlins. Those will be cheap.
I was going to say, you want to break the bank for that. Yeah.
The cost of getting there will be more than the tickets. Yeah, exactly.
Please come and watch us. Right. We'll put you right behind home plate.
Oh, yeah, but that, I'd say that would be my biggest dream, is seeing my favorite sports teams in their home stadiums.
Yep. How many of you worked on?
Zero.
Zero. Okay, zero. So he's got to get started here. All right, Brad,
I'm into it.
You're up. All right. Don't worry, I'll draw one too. So.
Okay.
It's all yellow. Fair here.
Who is your favorite athlete?
There we go.
Jimmy Butler. Light it up.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm from Minnesota originally, so I'm a Minnesota boy rooting for the hometown teams. Growing up, for me, it was Kevin Garnett. He's the icon of, obviously, basketball, and the Wolves are my favorite team. But growing up, KG was my guy. Just his love and passion for the game, his intensity that he brought. He'd howl at the moon like a wolf. He would
really bang, embracing
he,
it.
He would grab the ball at the beginning of the game and just like bang his head to it and just like get him pumped up and like bang the extension to the bottom of the rim. He just played the game like crazy, and it was just awesome to see. But and he was kind of like, for a while, obviously Minnesota, we don't win much. But
well, you get close,
exactly,
and
yeah,
then you lose.
Yeah. Oh my God. We could write a book on Minnesota, like, tragedy sports. I mean, we've invented ways to lose, basically. But but Kevin Garnett kind of got me through he was my childhood hero. He was the Wolves were at the time were the only team that was winning. He made us the playoffs, I think, 8 or 9 straight years. Kind of got that city going. But Kevin Garnett was my favorite athlete growing up, for sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love watching that team. Well, just because it was, growing up, it was a shorter drive for us to go to Minnesota than
this to Milwaukee.
Yeah. So we'd try to go over every now and then for a game. So watching Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, man. The 0304
Sam
team?
Cassell.
Oh, yeah. Troy Hudson.
Wally Zerbiak. Oh, let's go.
That was my team.
My stepbrother had like a Wally Zerbiak jersey. That was the thing.
If it wasn't
beauty
for those Lakers and Kobe and Shaq, we would have had a couple championships, I think.
But yeah. Tough teams.
What can you do? Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
All right, Dalton, your turn.
Yeah. Shake it up here. Hopefully I don't get a real cheesy one.
Cheesy.
Yeah.
What's your deepest fear?
What makes the best fort?
Night.
Wow.
Not Fortnite.
Not Fortnite.
So I don't know if you guys knew this, but like back my freshman, sophomore year, I always used to construct like blanket forts in my college dorm room.
Who didn't?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we'd create this blanket fort, and then we'd have like 50 turn Mario parties on Sundays. Like when football season was over, we didn't know what to do with ourselves on Sundays.
Fill the time a little bit, right? Yeah.
We had to at least wait till 9 o'clock in the evening to start our homework on Sunday nights.
Right?
So,
absolutely.
So what we did naturally was we called it a Mario Fiesta, and we just grabbed a bunch of food and played 50 turn Mario Party in the blanket fort.
Oh,
but
Mario Party, what a game.
So I'd say a lot of blankets and some comfy pillows and some, maybe some Christmas lights, because you can't go wrong. You got to create that,
that
atmosphere.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, those are always the best times there. So
yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Any last things you guys want to say before we sign off here?
I just want to say thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know. Pay your taxes.
Tip your wages.
Tip your wages, yeah. That's right. That's right. All right. Thank you guys for coming out. That concludes episode number 10 of the Northern Indian Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, like us on Instagram, and all that good stuff. So we'll see you guys next time, and thanks for tuning in.